The debate is over. Around climate change. Just.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you
Lynn Ertel, all the way from Baltimore, Maryland. Hello, Lynn.
Turn it up. When I pick a song, it's about a subject that I'm addressing.
Benton says Lynn for president. Are you running?
Presidents are stooges. The president is the crisis actor in chief. I'd rather be like Stalin, the commissar, you know? I'd rather have real power, you know? Don't even take me there. You know, Brian called me up, Brian from Brian and Jenna.
All right, Biochar Brian.
Brian and Jenna wanted me to mention the fact that you've got a lot of Trojan horses and stalking horses and shills, in the conspiratainment world that are pushing memes directly from communitarian law. And one of these is the phrase, the intentional community.
Turn it up, I can't hear it.
I heard that.
Turn it up.
I heard that.
Turn it up, I can't hear it.
I heard that.
Turn it up.
I heard that.
And I'm over-blaming groups like Catholics, the Jews, the Jesuits. I name the individuals who committed crimes for which they ought to be arrested and convicted and
turn it up,
subject to some pretty severe punishment. Things like racketeering and treason, not just fraud. I'd rather be like Stalin, like commissar, you know? I'd rather have real power, you know? Don't even take me there.
Turn it up, I can't hear it. I heard that.
But okay. I'm not talking about Jews, Jesuits, Catholics, black, white. I'm pointing at shills.
So who do you want to know if it was that they were Jesuits?
I don't care if they were or not. Guys, come over to Fake O2. If it's good, you're gonna find it on Fake O2.
Turn it up.
And we don't have ads on Fake O2.
Turn it up.
No, there's no ads yet.
Right.
Turn it up.
I can't hear it. Guys, come over to Fake O2. Fake O2.
All right, Tuesday, January the 13th, 2026. It's the Fakeologist/Lynn Ertel show. How's everybody tonight? Lynn Ertel, hello.
Hey, how's the sound quality?
Oh, it's good. It's real good. Everything is good. Glad you're here. And I just got an email from a disgruntled listener. Not from you, because of me. It says here, tragic. This is from January 7th. So that was... a week tomorrow ago.
Wow. Has it been that long?
Well, no, it's not. It's from the Fake Nukes Rizzoli Fakeologist show, not from you.
And no, I mean, yeah, even so, it's hard to believe that today's the 13th. So
I know, the year's flying by. This is from Winston Smith at CIA.gov.
Well, Winston Smith is, of course, the protagonist of George Orwell's 1984, so...
I think it's a fake email address. The comment is, tragic irony to listen to you and Tim discuss your AI listening preferences. Okay, I think it was Tim Osman, actually. So this
right,
is...
I listened to that, too.
Yeah,
I probably have a similar reaction, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. I don't even remember that. This is from a week ago yesterday.
Oh, okay. I'm still thinking of last night.
Yeah, and it says, AI is fake. I'm out. Thanks for the good years. Bye. So that's a listener. We listen. We read almost all the emails that we get in here. So
thanks. Yeah, I have threads on AI in the forum, and my view of AI is that it's just a tool, and it's simulation. It simulates, or tries to simulate, human rhetoric.
Okay.
And in that sense, the simulation of human activity is, it's machine tools do that. A water wheel does that. It simulates human labor.
Yeah.
So to me, simulation is just a tool. It has no inherent value one way or another.
Yeah.
And it can be perverted. It can be distorted, misused. Or it can be employed to curate data. And it's really just a search engine, isn't it?
Well, it's an automated search engine that does a little more. I mean,
yeah,
it's no magic pill. It does what it's intended, and it's the future, really. That's the important part of it.
Right. And the problem that people are having is this. They've discovered that what they thought was so original and creative in art or music, it really isn't all that original and creative. And in fact, their own ideas are derivative. They're not original.
That's right. So, there are no original ideas. I've always said that.
Well, yeah, there are.
Anonymous 366 says, sorry about that email, Tim. I was drunk. Well, I'm not sure it was you, but okay, that's funny.
Well, you know, I have members of my family who are philosophically, they don't like AI at all. And
they have liked the car when they were blacksmiths or riding around on horses? To me, this is the equivalent.
Right, exactly. Would they have liked the automobile or the telephone or the end?
Right. How many people hated the telephone, the wireless, the television, the computer, the internet? How far can we go?
I'm sympathetic to that, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I've noticed about modern culture, and maybe this is unique to American culture, is that whatever starts out good, they manage to turn to shit.
Who's they?
The owners.
Yeah. Okay.
The owners. If it's like, I think about the internet and what a fantastic thing it was.
Yeah, still is.
So I've been on it from the very beginning.
Me too.
And the potential it had was enormous. But then I started to see, and I go all the way back to the days of America Online, CompuServe, and Prodigy.
Where I go back to the bulletin board days.
Yeah, and it was wonderful. I thought it was fantastic. And then I started to see commercialism creeping in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when cable TV started, people got cable because you didn't have to put up with commercials for the most part. But then cable TV started commercializing. It's like telemarketing or name one thing the technology, one new technological tool that we've seen in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Corporate America and the scum that populate our political life managed to turn to crap. And what's really happening is what's been referred to as my bop, make it bad on purpose. And I encounter this in the culture with people who have a certain generation of people who have an inordinate attachment to things like the Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
Which became like religion for a lot of people, really. They were really into it.
Yeah.
And when they started producing these Star Wars sequels that sucked, right away, at first a lot of people, they pretended not to notice. Or Marvel Comics. The Marvel Comics characters that have been turned into these woke stereotypes, and their ideological axes to grind. And it's not that we don't get interesting movies from time to time. You know, I pointed this out about snake eyes. When the Charlie Kirk event happened, people started looking at these two movies. One was made in Korea called Tempest.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was all that great. And the other was an old one from the, I guess, from the early 90s called Snake Eyes, starring Nicolas Cage and Gary Sinise. And I said, well, I'll watch, you know, I think it's basically Tim Osman who does movie reviews, right?
Yeah.
So he mentioned his movie Snake Eyes. I said, I'll take a look at it. And I had to turn it off after the first 10 minutes. It sucked so bad. And the main thing, the opening scene of the movie, because they stage a Charlie Kirk style assassination of, I don't know, some politician or celebrity.
Yeah.
I don't even.
Right.
And it's in the middle of an arena where a championship boxing match is happening, a heavyweight boxing match. And in the first few minutes, you're watching this heavyweight boxing match, and the boxers are talking at each other because they're not wearing mouthpieces. And I guess I would compare it to somebody going into a hockey game without a helmet.
Yeah.
And no athletic commission on planet Earth would allow a legitimate title bout or any professional or amateur boxing match to occur without requiring the boxers to wear mouthpieces. I know this because I have been hit in the face a number of times over the years in boxing and kickboxing. I know what it feels like. And no boxer would go into the ring without a mouthpiece. They'd be stupid. You could get your jaw broken that way. So when I watch this movie, Snake Eyes, with these high-priced actors, directed by Brian De Palma, admittedly a brilliant director, many, many successful films. You know, I think Out of the Mouth of Madness is one that a lot of people seem to like. That is Brian De Palma, right? It's not John Carpenter, it's Brian De Palma. But anyway, I said, I can't believe I'm watching this. And the boxers are, I don't know, tossing insults at each other and because they're not wearing mouthpieces. And I think that this is so stupid. Anyone who has even a superficial familiarity with boxing would see right away it's absurd. It's stupid. And because they're not wearing mouthpieces. And it bothered me so much, I watched it for another 5 minutes, and then I said, this sucks, and I turned it off. It's a piece of shit movie. And I posed the question. I said, what's wrong with the screenwriter? What's wrong with the cameraman? What's wrong with the director, Brian De Palma? What the hell is wrong with Nicolas Cage that he didn't say, hey, you know something? That's stupid. That's stupid. Anybody who knows anything about professional boxing or amateur boxing is going to say that's a dumb scene because boxers always wear mouthpieces. The success of a play, a movie, a TV show is based on something called willful suspension of disbelief. Yeah. And of course, as we know, because we're fakeologists, that's also what successful psyops depend on. Willful suspension of disbelief. You got to make it reasonably convincing. If it's totally stupid, it's like, you remember in the 70s, there used to be a lot of martial arts films that came out of Hong Kong and Taiwan. And people used to make fun of them because they would dub in an English soundtrack, but the visual movie itself would always be out of sync with the soundtrack.
Right.
Because it was cheaply done. You know, you can do it. You can dub something. The Italian films, the spaghetti westerns, many of them would dub English in. And they would do a pretty decent job of it. You couldn't really tell whether they were speaking English or Italian. But these martial arts films became kind of a standing joke. Because you'd hear the character talking, but his mouth wasn't moving, you know, so it looked stupid. And that's how I thought of this movie, Snake Eyes. And I said at the time, the crew, the actors, the director didn't stop and say, well, we can't have this. This is absurd. They didn't do a focus group. You know, usually movies are tested on focus groups. And then they go back and they edit the film to get rid of things maybe that the audience didn't respond well to or whatever, you know. Someone didn't stand up and say, well, that's effing stupid. Boxers don't box without mouthpieces, especially in a heavyweight title bout with 20,000 people watching. But, you know, it's just like the, where was NORAD on 9/11? Well, that's stupid, guys. What are you saying? Oh, Lynn, they're saying a commercial Boeing jet crashed into the Pentagon that was hijacked over in Ohio. I said, what? You're telling me it flew across from Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia. It flew across several state lines, over airports, over dams, over power stations, over shopping malls, over just so it could land and hit a wall of the Pentagon. I said, that's stupid. Stupid. It's stupid for them to expect me to believe that without NORAD being scrambled. And everyone around me was stupid. They were effing stupid. And from the day of that event itself, I've had to come to terms with the fact that people choose to be stupid.
Yeah.
They
willfully ignorant.
Right. And they choose to consume mediocre entertainment that sucks. No matter how much predictive programming or esoteric symbolism or numerology is embedded in it.
Yeah, it's hard to
know the difference between a good movie and a lousy one. Now, you happen to think that you're not a big fan of Martin Scorsese's films. You didn't like Taxi Driver.
Not really.
Last night you were commenting on how you thought it was a lousy film. But let me ask you something. Did it bore you?
A little.
You were sitting through it and you got restless and said, come on, let's move the story along or that dialogue.
I just didn't like it on many levels.
Well, I don't, you'll have to explain that to me sometime because I'm ambivalent about the film, but I wouldn't say I found it boring. The Travis Bickle character played by Robert De Niro, a young Robert De Niro. Sybil Shepherd is in it. I think it's her first major film appearance. And of course, Jodie Foster.
Yeah, I remember that.
Who's
still
basically a child in the film. They show her as a child prostitute. But if I'm criticizing a work of art, one of the first things I'm going to look at is the willful suspension of disbelief. Now, some movies are pure fantasies. You know, they have witches and goblins and like horror films. You watch a horror film, you know, it's kind of, it's made up. It's kind of faking it. It's simulating things to scare you. And it can either be done effectively or it can be a piece of shit. So Snake Eyes, as far as I'm concerned, what is it supposed to be? A thriller or a murder mystery?
Yeah.
It's a piece of shit. And Brian De Palma should be ashamed of himself for releasing a film like that, that opens up with such a stupid, implausible scene. And if there's anyone out there that wants to call in and argue with me and tell me that they've seen a professional boxing match where the boxers are not wearing a mouthpiece and that therefore there's nothing stupid about that, maybe they can also explain to me how a big, fat Boeing commercial jet, which can't go much more than 450 miles per hour, hijacked near the Ohio-Kentucky border, made it across several states for over a half hour without NORAD scrambling and intercepting it, hit the Pentagon, and no one said a word. No one said, we got to hang the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense, and the commanding officer of NORAD, who at that time was Air Force General Richard Myers. He was the acting chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And I think Ralph Eberhard was the general Air Force General in charge of NORAD. Anyone who would know of the existence of NORAD and would accept such a stupidly implausible narrative is an asshole. And I will continue to maintain that, leaving aside the controlled demolitions in Manhattan, because I hadn't even looked at those yet. I said, well, that's strange. I don't buy that crashing planes caused fires that made these skyscrapers go down. That's ridiculous. But I wasn't even looking at that. I said, boy, heads are going to roll for what happened at the Pentagon. Because after Pearl Harbor, they had to scapegoat Admiral Kimmel and Major General Short, who were the officers on the scene in Hawaii. They had to be the scapegoats, and it had to be laid on them that they weren't prepared for this sneak attack from Japan. Of course, Fake Nukes Phil makes the case that there was no Japanese attack. So that would be irrelevant anyway. And so that would solve the problem. And within the first week after 9/11, immediately a couple websites went up with pictures and videos saying, of the Pentagon, saying, where the hell is the plane? And Thierry Maison, a French journalist, published a piece called, I don't know, The Frightening Fraud, or in French, The Frightening Fraud, in which he said, there's no plane at the Pentagon. This is a bullshit story. So, of course, at that point, I said, you know, because initially I was saying, you'd have to have had a deliberate stand down by NORAD or utterly unthinkable failure and incompetence that would lead to court martials of the leading figures involved. And the evening of the event, I rushed to turn on the TV, and lo and behold, they were having a Senate hearing chaired by the two senior senators who ran the Senate Armed Services Committee, John Warner and Carl Levin. And they had General Richard Myers there. They had General Eberhard. They had all of these top Joint Chiefs of Staff, military brass, right there. And I couldn't believe it. They congratulated them on their heroism and their response today, and proceeded to confirm Richard Myers as permanent head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He had been acting head because his predecessor, Hugh Shelton, we are told, had an accident and fell off a ladder painting his house and broke his neck. So, but they went ahead and they practically gave these guys medals. Oh, we want to commend you for how you handled yourself today. And I'm looking at this thinking to myself, oh my God, they're going to gaslight the American people into thinking that it's perfectly normal for a Boeing commercial jet hijacked with box cutters to be in the air for over a half hour, long enough to just cruise right into the billion-dollar defensive grid surrounding our nation's capital, air defense, and manage to score a perfect hit on the west wall of the Pentagon, and that there's nothing implausible about that. There was a local talk radio show here in Baltimore. This is within the first year after 9/11, and I called in, the host was named Mark Steiner, and he was a real cuck, and a small hat cuck, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And I called in, and I said, I posed exactly this problem to him. I said, what the hell happened to NORAD? And almost immediately, and he dismissed me, Because I said either there was a deliberate stand down here.
Yeah.
Where there was no such flight. I said, because the response in terms of accountability and responsibility for such an unthinkable failure of our air defenses against not a Russian MiG, not a missile, a DU hardened missile, no, a big fat Boeing commercial jet that can't even move that fast, piloted by student pilots. Mark Steiner dismissed me. He said, well, that's ridiculous. That's just conspiracy theory. And almost immediately, someone called into his talk radio show to explain that the reason why this happened is because our defenses against the hijacking of a commercial flight were all focused on the domestic flights. We weren't looking for an international flight. No, we're all focused on international flights, this guy said. Well, all of our hijacking resources were focused on international flights, and therefore we weren't expecting a domestic flight to be hijacked. We weren't looking on the inside, we were only looking on the outside, and that's why this failure occurred. And the host said, yes, absolutely, that's what it must have happened. Now, how does that excuse sound for you?
Mm-hmm.
What would you have thought if you heard somebody make that excuse?
Crazy.
Yeah, crazy. They F with your head by getting you to believe stupid things. And that's why I say 9/11 always will be, in my mind, an IQ test and a gullibility test. And also a test of how people pretend to believe in stupid, absurd things because they want to be part of the narrative. They identify with the narrative. They want it to be true, even though it's stupid and it doesn't make any sense. It's not rational. First of all, it doesn't make any sense you could hijack four planes with box cutters and plastic knives anyway. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that within the first few days after 9/11, I said to myself, well, they're going to have to show us the airports are honeycombed with CCTV cameras. We're talking about Reagan Airport. We're talking about, Dulles. We're talking about these airports. They're going to have to show us videos that prove that these hijackers actually boarded the planes. You know, they had to have tickets. Actually boarded the planes that they're alleged to have hijacked. They're going to have to show them, I don't know, in the airport, in line, getting on the plane. No, none of that. None of that. They didn't show any of that. And then finally, I guess after about 3 or 4 weeks, they produced a video of what they said was one of the hijackers, might have been Mohammed Atos, one of the hijackers, they said, was shown at the Portland, Maine airport at an ATM machine. And that was their proof. That was the only video, only image we ever saw proving that these 19 alleged hijackers actually boarded planes. But it doesn't even prove that. Because what the hell were they doing at the Portland, Maine airport except getting a connecting flight to Logan? So they could hijack the plane out of Logan. Isn't that a beautiful plan? You're going to hijack a commercial flight out of Logan. And so in your plan, you decide you're going to go to Portland, Maine and get a connecting flight first. That's so stupid. That's another stupid detail. You would never do that if you were planning to hijack. You know how connecting flights can be late. In other words, you're adding a layer of complexity to your plot where you're depending on a connecting flight from a local airport to a major airport to be on time. And that's utter bullshit. No real hijacker would behave that way. Mm-hmm. But everybody was expected to believe it. And then they told us they found a hijacker's passport in the rubble. And I think they still insist on that. that somebody in New York City managed, you know, to find a still legible passport belonging to one of the hijackers in the rubble of the towers. Do I have to see, this is America. Why do you act so effing stupid? Why do you think it's patriotic to pretend to be a stupid jackass with the gullibility of a 4 or 5 year old? Aren't you ashamed of yourself? And now we see what we saw with the COVID. It's like the people with the COVID mask. We're going to go to the restaurant. You walk in, you're wearing the mask. You sit down at the table, you take the mask off. Oh, you got to go up, go to the restroom, put the mask on.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have a cigarette, you put the mask on, go outside, have your cigarette, come back in, take the mask off. Or the social distancing. Or those arrows on the floor in the in the 7-Eleven or the Royal Farm, wherever you were in the store, the supermarket, directing you how to walk during this terrible plague, which, by the way, you wouldn't even be leaving your house if it was real. You really wouldn't even be leaving your house. You'd have the groceries delivered. If I thought there was a real pandemic going on out there, enough to shut down the whole world, enough for those big, tough MAGA guys to lock down their families, shut down their businesses, roll up their sleeves, put on a mask, social distance. Donald Trump declared that national emergency. He said that this was a state of national emergency for a deadly global corona pandemic. And he put Dr. Fauci and Deborah Birx in charge of the country. And then something really strange happened. In November of 2020, Joe Biden was elected president and the new administration came in. The first thing, and I'm watching every move they're making. The first thing they did was they confirmed and reaffirmed the declaration of national emergency, originally declared by President Trump, that was the green light for all the governors to impose lockdowns and destroy all these small businesses and wreck the plans of young students who are, you know, maybe planning to go to college. I think your daughter was planning.
Oh, yeah, she's going to England.
Yeah, and all that was wrecked because of this, right?
Oh, yeah, wrecked a generation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no college graduation, no prom, none of that. And the first thing that the Biden administration said was, we're still in the middle of this deadly global pandemic. This would be when they came in January 21st of 2021, after the January 6th event. After the George Floyd event, where doctors and nurses told us, yeah, it's okay for thousands of these young people to be out there marching and protesting and rioting as long as they're wearing a mask. And the first thing that Joe Biden did was we're still in this state. And they reaffirmed the declaration of national emergency originally issued by President Trump. And what do you think the second thing they did was? The very next thing was they canceled and reversed all of the executive orders that had effectively closed the border. Because
I was caught in that.
Yeah, maybe people think that viruses don't cross borders. We found out about that, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. I just heard a normie podcaster whining about that. Because they were whining that because RFK Jr. is reducing the number of childhood vaccines from 14 to 11.
We're going to have outbreaks now.
That they, yeah, so This guy was saying, well, Canadians with their children won't want to go to Disney World because there'll be extra diseases now that will spread.
Listen, Disney World sucks.
Well, I've been there a million times, so it's
maybe you're it's like for children. Epcot, it's, did you like the Epcot Center? I hear that sucks now.
It always is.
Epcot
it
stands always... for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. And when it opened in the 70s.
Yeah, I've been there a million times. It's a lot of walking, and it's not done. They stopped really developing Disney World at least 10 years ago in my mind, or 20 years ago. They really, it just came to a stop. So they stopped expanding it, and it's just, well, now they just raised the prices and milked people. Hey, can we talk about some current topics? Because I liked your 9/11 diatribe, but we've only got 25 minutes left.
Right. And by the way, if they stopped talking about 9/11, I would stop talking about 9/11. They said October 7th was Israel's 9/11. They compared January 6th to 9/11.
It was a nice try.
Right. Americans love trash. Americans produce trash. Americans consume trash. Are Americans themselves trash? That's what I'd like to know.
Hey, listen, let's hit some current stuff today.
Well, I want to focus on something that I'm seeing more and more of.
I want to get your opinion on Scott Adams because he allegedly died.
Yeah, well, he was a cartoonist. He produced Dilbert.
Yeah.
And then...
Did you? I tried to watch many times his show, Coffee with Scott Adams. I just couldn't get into him, and
wasn't all that smart. He just wasn't all that clever.
Oh, he thought he was.
Oh, yes.
His final message, I just read it. If I'm a world famous author, cartoonist, etc., I would think I would have done a better final message, unless he didn't write it. But anyway, that's up on the Facebooks there, or sorry, the X's.
Yeah, I thought the beautiful thing about the COVID. Unlike 9/11, you know, 9/11 took a while for people to catch on. It took a couple years for people to catch on to how stupid it was. But the COVID narrative, I think a lot of people saw through that right away. They looked around and they said, well, I don't see people dropping dead on my street. Why have they shut everything down? You know,
lots of people saw through it. We knew it right away as fake all.
Oh, yeah.
We knew that. We were waiting for something big, and we've been preconditioned and listening to podcasts talk about the vaccines for the last many years and how they might use the flu or
virus. We knew about that tabletop exercise that Johns Hopkins ran in 2019 and earlier. Yeah, simulations, and we knew they had been preparing for this. And the way Trump before Trump left office in 2020, or he gave Medal of Freedom awards, presidential medals to Anthony Fauci, Deborah Birx, the whole Corona task force that he set up. So I say it was Trump that elevated Fauci to the status of czar, giving him and of course. The second thing that the Biden administration did was they reversed all of Trump's executive orders shutting down the border, and they opened the border, and then they invited these caravans of immigrants to come up across the border in the middle of a deadly global pandemic. And between January and May, officially, more than a million people crossed the border from Mexico into the United States in the first year of the Biden administration. And I couldn't believe they were doing this. I was saying, the first thing you do if you're in the middle of a deadly global pandemic is you cancel all, and they did cancel all flights from China, right? They did cancel a lot of flights, and they did. Australia had quarantines, and all this stuff was happening. But Joe Biden not only opened up the border, the southern border with Mexico, but But yeah. he essentially invited these immigrants to come in. And when I heard that more than a million had between January and May, I thought, oh my God, surely the Congress is going to question Fauci about this. And they did. They did. And I watched that hearing where Anthony Fauci was asked, what do you think about measures taken by the Biden administration completely reversing President Trump's closure of the border and allowing all these immigrants to come in? Is it going to have an effect on our fight against? They're asking him this while they're all wearing masks. How's this going to affect our pandemic situation? And you know what Fauci said? He said, Senator, that's a political question. I have no opinion on that. I have no opinion on the politics of the border and immigration. And the senators couldn't believe it, and they were pursuing it. They were saying, well, don't you think that this would have an impact on the spread of this disease? And Fauci looked right at them and said, oh, no, Senator, I don't think so. I mean, what's important is for everybody to get vaccinated.
You want to hear Scott Adams' mea culpa?
Sure, go ahead.
You remember this.
Completely. Having said as clearly as possible that the anti-vax people seem to be the winners, I want you to hear that clearly. The anti-vax people appear to be the winners. The anti-vaxxers clearly are the winners at this point, and I think it'll probably stay that way. And I don't want to put any shade on that whatsoever. They came out the best. They have the winning position. The unvaccinated have a current advantage because they feel better. The thing they're not worrying about is what I have to worry about, which is, I wonder if that vaccination 5 years from now, because really the anti-vaxxers, I think, were really just distrustful of big companies and big government. That's never wrong. It's never wrong to distrust government. It's never wrong to distrust big companies, right? So if you just took the position, let's just distrust everything the government did, well, you won. You won. You won completely. I did not end up in the right place. Agree? You would all agree with that, right? I did not end up in the right place. The right place would be natural immunity, no vaccination. You should take victory, and I should take defeat. We can agree on that, right? That my position is now the weakest, and your position has gone from the weakest to the strongest, and that we can just say that's true. The people who didn't get vaxxed are absolutely in the winning position. You win. You win. You are the winners. You are the winners. All right, let me say that part with no ambiguity. You won. You won. All of my fancy analytics got me to a bad place. All of your heuristics, don't trust these guys, it's obvious, totally worked.
All right, what do you think of that? Now, he says it for other reasons, but I don't know if he thinks it caused his prostate cancer.
That's what I'd like to know. Did he develop his cancer after the vax?
I don't know if you can even say that, because by the time you get prostate cancer, it's been brewing a long time. I don't think it could have helped.
Well, but was it triggered? Was it triggered by
the vax? I don't know what the timeline is, honestly, but... He's an interesting guy. I think Dilbert was a great comic, rather.
Well, I like Trey Parker and Matt Stone. You guys were discussing them last night, right?
Yeah.
And South Park, I was not a particularly big fan. It's all right. South Park, you know, it was amusing. Who did Beavis and Butthead? Was that also that I liked? That I always thought was funny, but that's my sense of humor.
Yeah, I never watched that either. I don't know who did it off the top of my head. I'm sure someone in the chat knows.
we were talking about Stan Lee, who is an artistic genius.
Oh, wait, I want to get the rest of your thoughts on Scott Adams before we move on. Are you, what's your take on him? Did you follow him at all? Did you watch Dilbert?
Yeah, I would occasionally look at Dilbert. I mean, you know, people used to, in the offices I worked in, people were always posting Dilbert on the bulletin board.
Yes, yes. Because I think it's very relevant to office cubicle workers.
Right. But I thought he sounded really stupid when the COVID broke out and he got behind the official narrative. And
yeah.
For a while, he was pushing the vax, right?
Yeah, that's apparently true. I wasn't really following.
They made him into an ass in my eyes. But then, you know, I don't have such high expectations of artists. Are not always the smartest people. You know, they're talented. They're talented, but they're not always the smartest.
I can ask Grok. Grok is neat how you can ask it questions in an X feed, and that way everyone can read the answer as well.
What are we looking at here?
You can ask, was he diagnosed after he got the COVID shot?
Right.
And it'll take a while to come in. And I can also ask Grok to play some videos when he was talking, when he was pushing the vax.
I should say, one of the things that's happening with these staged events with the crisis actors is there's always squabbles over the money. And now there's actually lawsuits and courtroom battles from survivors of some of these events where they're claiming that the money that other
Mike Judge was Beavis and Butthead. Sorry.
What's that?
Mike Judge did Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked it. I still think Beavis and Butthead is funny. And that's actually connected to an event that you originally posted about, which was a so-called mass shooting that took place in Lewiston, Maine.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, I was just on that, you know, in the forum, I was just sharing that page. The Lewiston, Maine shooting of October 2023. A mass shooting where a gunman killed 18 people, killed 18, and injured 13 at two locations, a bowling alley and a restaurant hosting a cornhole tournament.
Right.
Cornholing. Because I always remembered that classic routine on Beavis and Butthead called Cornholio. Do you remember? Where he would... he would put his shirt above his head and go around going, Cornholio, Cornholio, I'm Cornholio.
Yeah, I saw that. And it was the Schmengi. What was it? You had the post up. Now, what did you do with the post? It was
yes,
the Schmengi,
a cornhole tournament was happening. At
no,
the second look.
No, but
here's
it was
what's
the
happening.
Schmengi brothers.
That instead of...
yeah, I'm seeing that. Hold on. We got a caller in. Where are you calling from? What's your name?
Sean from Idaho.
Sean, how's it going?
I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Good, Lynn. Always
Semper
enjoy the show. So good. Very good. Hey, I just wanted to throw it out there. Do you think there should ever be, I mean, should these people ever be allowed to apologize their way out of it? Like, if you're a king and you could bring these people to justice, would you ever allow, I mean, is I'm sorry good enough, or do they all need to be punished no matter what?
Well, my line on the COVID was, see, they always want you to forget these things. But then again, they want you to remember every time they bring it up, like 9/11, you know.
Yeah.
But boy, I have seen people running away from the obvious implications of the COVID psyop. Just running away from it. They don't want to be reminded of it. They don't want to be reminded of how stupid many of them were. And my line on that is no amnesty, no forgetting, and no forgiving. They wrecked thousands of small businesses that never opened. I could think of a dozen at least that I know of right off the top of my head here in Central Maryland, restaurants, bars, dry cleaning establishments that never reopened. So
a lot of damage to my business at the time.
Yeah, but they paid you, did they not? Did you not get
compensation? Yeah, they gave you a little cash, huh? I got a check.
Yeah, with compensation, nobody ever cut me a check.
No, but did you ever apply for all the COVID money? Because
yeah, everybody got like a $600 check or a $1,200.
And by the way,
I don't want anything from the government. I don't ask.
Well, here's
no, I know, but I got some interesting.
You're not being smart. You're not being smart like these Somalis.
Yeah, because I got some other theories about it because I watched a video today. You know, I'm doing a lot of financial stuff now to manage my own affairs. And I watched a video today where it was by Jerry Romine. He does a lot of financial on YouTube. And he was saying none of these debts are ever going to be paid back. There's never that intention. And he inadvertently was implying that because Americans are so against taxation, of course, that was the whole reason that they started their own country and revolted against the king, is that you have to find other ways to tax Americans. Now, tariffs are a tax on Americans, pure and simple, although it's called tariff. And the other thing is the fact that they're never going to pay the debt ever. All they're going
to
do is
inflate.
No, but they're going to inflate it away.
It's like a 50-year mortgage.
No, it's like an infinite mortgage. But no, they're going to inflate it away. The only way it could possibly be reduced as a percentage of the total budget is they just flood the market with more fiat, and it makes the debt worth less. So,
I have a different take on that.
Go ahead.
Basically, I mean, what do they care how much debt we get into, you know, since they print the money, but also
I'm talking about their debt.
Their debt.
The federal debt.
Yeah. I mean, the whole point is eventually they just start taking real shit. Like they start taking bridges and infrastructure and water.
That's or they just stop providing basic services. They stop collecting. They reduce trash collection from.
Well, I don't think it's going to. Well, yeah, I know that was the New York case, New York City in the 70s. No, they already own all the bridges and all the infrastructure. So those are all incorporated. In the coffers of all the corporations of the states and the cities and the counties. So they already own all that.
Yeah, well, what they'll do is they'll put it in private hands. I mean, or quasi, you know, it'll seem like it's still in, right? But my point is they take it over. Like, I mean, we have bridges here that the Spanish, you know, get all the money for the tolls, you know, I mean, but that's probably privately owned. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I think that's what happens.
Well, no,
you
know, they're probably administering the roads and the maintenance, but they don't own the asset though. I go through this debate with the toll road in Toronto. Everyone thinks that a private company owns it. No, they have the leasehold to operate it. They don't own it. It's not on their books. It's on our books. But anyway, it's just a pretty good theory that they're just going to inflate. They're going to inflate. The inflation is a tax on people. And obviously they feel it. And obviously it gets worse. It's worse around the world where the U.S. dollar is not your currency, like the Iranian rial, and their inflation is 10 or 100 or 1,000 times worse. And that's why they're rioting. They don't care about their leader. They're just hungry. So anyway, was that did we answer your question though, Sean, or was there something else?
Well, yeah, I get kind, I guess, but I was just saying it should. I mean, to me, there's a tier system. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me. Like what I dealt with is if you're the kind of person that actually wants to force people mm-hmm. to take these poison shots, wants to force people to do this, I think those people should get executed. But on down, you know, there's people that were just kind of trying to get through it.
They were rule followers.
Rule followers, you know, maybe they can take a little punishment, but it's not as big a deal. I mean, for me, the people are saying you should be arrested. You shouldn't be able to go outside of your house. Those people, there's nothing too harsh for them. I think they should go down.
But, so you don't think we should prosecute for war crimes the guard at Auschwitz, for instance? Because that's what they specialized in doing that for the last 25 years. I mean, anyone related to Hitler and ran him through the ringer, even if the guy was 95 years old. No, I'm just saying these are the guys that were just following orders. I know you don't have to believe in any of that. I'm just saying they did prosecute, allegedly.
The premise is that these people knew that there was a Holocaust going on, and they went along to get along. And
I will never, ever forgive the people of New York City, and especially the cops, the firemen, the Port Authority staff, and the construction workers. I will never forgive them for 9/11. I hold them accountable because none of them have done a goddamn thing about that, even though everybody knows those were controlled demolitions. And I'll tell you something else. ACASHL. All cops are Sandy Hook liars. And we know that police agencies across this country are totally compromised and corrupt. And I can't think of a single cop outside of Wolf Halbig who spoke, and he did. You can watch his videos. He went around the country holding meetings of hundreds of people. I can't think of a single other. When Sandy Hook happened, we should have heard, because Sandy Hook was another one that was so stupid. Here they were laughing, Robbie Parker laughing in our face, Gene Rosen's audition tape, Dr. Wayne Carver, all that.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
We should have heard from police and police organizations, their unions, their fraternal lodges, immediately, hey, folks, this was a drill. Don't get excited. This was a drill. Never, 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 never do I hear from cops. And that's because just about all, it's not just the media, see, just about all the cops, judges, lawyers, and government law enforcement agencies at all levels are in on it. They're corrupt. They simply cannot be trusted. We discussed the reporting of statistics, the disgrace and resignation of the Washington, D.C. police chief over her reporting of false numbers for carjackings and murders, whatever, in Washington, D.C. So we know their reporting of crimes is utter bullshit. I don't forgive them for that. Active collaboration with fake mass shootings, fake terrorist attacks, fake accidents and disasters, many of them staged for insurance fraud, which we call Jewish lightning in the insurance business. I consider what happened in Manhattan on 9/11 to be a perfect example of Jewish lightning. You know, if the white elephant isn't making any money, torch it and collect the insurance. And he had double indemnity on those towers for a terrorist attack. And apparently,
that was all his story, though.
Of course, I'd
like to see the receipts.
Well, somebody got paid a lot of money. Kenneth Feinberg, the judge, gave millions of dollars to the alleged families of survivors, like the Jersey girls. Apparently, and I'm going to say this without qualification, apparently just about every state, municipal, or county police department in the United States now either trains under Israeli instructors, or they actually go to train in Israel itself, paid for probably by our tax dollars. They are trained to police us here in the same way they police the Palestinian Arab population on the West Bank or in Gaza. It's all the same. Cops.
We're Palestinians now.
Yeah, police, cops.
Hey, hold on a sec, guys. Lucas wants to chime in. Lucas.
I indict every one of you out there for your consummate failure to speak out and do something about this. You have unions, fraternal organizations, lodges. You have access to expensive lawyers, unless and until some of you speak out on these fake events like Sandy Hook, everyone will distrust you. They may fear you, but they will have zero respect for your moral authority. And you will see disgust made manifest all around you in your personal life, from your friends, from your family, and everything else. So yes, no forgiveness, no forgetting, no amnesty for all you dirty, dirty, cowardly cops out there that should have called out Sandy Hook as a drill and a fake media narrative the week it happened. The week it happened. I know a lot of, we heard from a lot of EMTs about that. A lot of EMTs said, no, they're supposed to triage. You're supposed to. I got a friend on Facebook looking at the event in Minnesota where Renee Good was allegedly shot. And it's just like we talked about this. It's just like the Orlando Pulse nightclub. They picked up her body and carried it up the street. Any EMT knows you never do that. You pull the EMT vehicle right up inches from the victim and you pull the stretcher out. You don't pick up the victim and carry them up the block. And this guy I know on Facebook who uses the handle John Melody, I don't know if it's his real name or not, friend of mine on Facebook, he says, I was an EMT for 14 years. You never carry the body up the block. He said, this is a clown show. He called it as a clown show. So there are EMTs out there, maybe some doctors. You know, there were doctors and nurses that talked about after the Boston Marathon, how this Jeff Bauman was tooling around after a double amputee who allegedly lost both legs in the Boston Marathon bombing. And there, just like 6 weeks later, they got him out at the Boston Bruins game, wheeling around in his wheelchair, waving a flag for Boston Strong. And I think you observed they rigged that game too, right? That hockey game.
Well, it certainly seemed orchestrated. Hey, Lucas is on the line. He wants to get a word in about the COVID since we got on to that. Lucas,
I'll always talk about that. Go ahead.
Hey, Lucas.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, Lynn and Tim.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
And Scott.
Great to talk to you guys.
Sorry,
Scott and Sean, whoever you are.
On my to hell. Hey, the Romans celebrated New Year on April 1st. That's another sign.
There you go. But now my first kid was born during COVID and,
congratulations.
You know, we were kind of worried. Well, thank you. Yeah. Luckily we had more after two, but, you know, we were kind of scared coming up to it. I knew it was bullshit from the get-go because I had already been kind of conspiracy-minded. So every headline I saw on the news, it was 33 this and $3.3 million going to this and 33. I know that's not like scientific evidence or whatever, but I saw that. I'm like, there's something not right about this. And
you were right. Scott Adams was wrong. Well, you guys have been talking. I've been just going through. Grok gave me the three posts, by the way. Sorry to interrupt for a sec. Scott Adams three times said there were three references he made. He felt freedom when he took the Moderna shot. He was in support of vaccine passports. And he talked about the three vaccines he got. And then, of course, he was diagnosed with inoperable metastasizing prostate cancer this year in May.
If he's really dead, I forgive him. But if he was still alive, no, I wouldn't.
No, I forgive him. But
you know who else we should forgive? We're being told that Tucker Carlson is now a 9/11 truther.
Oh, no.
Is there anybody out there? This is a guy who went around for 23 years calling 9/11 truthers parasites.
Parasites, yeah. He's a piece of crap. No, I'm not.
Hey, he's a truther now. He's seen WTC7. He knows.
I know. But as for Scott Adams, I watched an interview with Scott Adams a couple months ago, and if he wasn't sick, he sure pretended to be sick because he did not look good. or
looks
sound
like chemotherapy. Like you lose all your hair when you do chemotherapy.
Well, no, he was bald a long time ago, but just the way he talked and he looked weak, and of course he died a few months later. So I think he's gone personally. And whether it's the clot shot or not, that accelerated, as you said, or
they're called turbo cancers.
Yeah, turbo.
We have evidence of turbo cancers.
Prostate cancers.
That is people who are in remission. Yeah, and this is why doctors should not be advising recovered cancer patients to take a vaccine.
Doctors should not be doing any of the things they do. So let's not go with doctors. But sorry, was there something else, Lucas? I think you were saying.
Well, yeah, no, I was going to tell about, my kid being born during the COVID time. And, we went to the hospital and they, where we were at, luckily, like they would make you wear a mask in the hallway, but they didn't care. Like if you're in a room with where the birth was taking place, and they weren't, I think it's kind of standard procedure anyway in a hospital for people to wear surgical masks, but, they weren't like, it wasn't like California. Like we saw at the time, there was a woman, I believe it was in California, but it was one of these kind of commie states where they wouldn't let her come into skin-to-skin contact with the baby after it was born. They had like a plastic sheet in between them. And it was the most sickening thing I ever saw because, anyone that's had kids, that's a very important moment for the birth of a child. But luckily we didn't have to deal with any things like that. But that really opened my eyes to the vaccine scam. They kind of rush you through it when your child is born in a hospital. They went, I forget what it is, vitamin B vaccine, or I forget which one they want to give
vitamin
right off
E,
the bat.
I think.
Yeah.
No,
and
so vitamin K, I think. Vitamin K.
I can't remember. Yeah, it's one of those. But, and we didn't know well enough. So my first child got maybe 3 vaccines, but she's doing good. She's not, she doesn't seem damaged by it at all. But I remember right afterwards, this pediatrician, this scumbag, was telling us, you got to listen to this guy, Peter Hotez, which I don't, are you familiar with who that is?
Oh, yeah, we know who he is. Yeah.
Hotez.
Dude, holy shit. Like,
I'm
just
sure
looking at
no agenda when they're talking about the COVID psyop.
Oh, okay. In a negative light, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I've heard Peter Hotez on C-SPAN within the last few months. Once again, they trot him out there to talk about the danger of future pandemics. And, yeah, he's a go-to expert for the media still. Have you ever seen him? He's like, he's kind of obese, right?
Yeah, well, he's a creepy-looking bastard, too. He looks like a, I can't say this guy is up to this, but he looks like a freaking child molester. He's got a bow tie on. He looks like a little gremlin. He looks like he eats children. I don't know. He's a creep. And his own daughter, though, has freaking autism. And he wrote a whole book about, oh, no, it's not vaccines. And then, and to top it off for people that are looking at this angle, he's a Jewish guy that he says that he's committing tikkun olam. He's healing the world.
Healing the world,
Yeah. I'm like, give me a break. This guy's like, he's straight from hell. And so thank God we got, we went with a different doctor and, they don't push that stuff on us and our other children. But man, it was a whole ordeal going through that. Like, I was starting to question vaccines, and then once they started trotting all that stuff out, I was like, man, there's something up with this. So that's kind of what got me on this whole angle of what you guys are talking about.
They vaxxed everyone in Israel, and they also started talking about issuing a green pass.
Yeah.
Where you wouldn't be allowed on beaches or out in public.
They had that in Gaza. They had a passport.
Yeah. And I saw a video, talk about creepy, of Benjamin Netanyahu with a bunch of little kids, all in Hebrew, and what he was educating them on social distancing and wearing the mask. So, yeah, definitely the Zionists played a big, big role in the COVID psyop. So I'm not blowing that off either. They were in the forefront of it. And I'm not going to forgive. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like Rachel Maddow, all the on-air media personalities that condemned people who didn't want to take the vax. I've talked about the fact that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Kyrie Irving, Novak Djokovic refused to take the vax and became, big public causes over that. And I kept waiting. I kept waiting for the Players Association, you know, the NFL Players Association, the NBA Players Association, their union, to stand up for the superstar athletes and say, you know, they have a right to refuse. It's bodily autonomy. It's your individual choice, your individual personal health profile to decide between you and your doctor whether you want to take this experimental shot or not. After all, it wasn't even approved by the FDA. It was authorized for emergency use. Emergency use authorization, using the rationale that the disease was more threatening than any possible risk from this experimental vaccine. And right. Let me tell you.
Sorry. I have a point to add after you're done.
No, go ahead. When my first born,
the first time we went to the pediatrician, they had a poster on the wall talking about the COVID-19 vaccine, and they said it's already been proven it doesn't affect the menstrual cycle or anything. I'm like, how do you know this? This is right when it came out, you know. I'm like, give me a break. Like, they just had all this propaganda up. Like, they don't give a shit, you know. And it's I thank God we didn't, you know, get anything like that going on. But it's pretty sick, you know, when you look at these bastards, like what they're willing to just lie to you about, and they don't care about the cost of the children.
During COVID, I used to say that people would say, well, this is untested. I think it was very well tested for different.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know what RFK Jr. said. He blurted this out. He said those vaccines really don't belong to Pfizer and Moderna. They're a Pentagon product, and Pfizer and Moderna simply
they were military contractors. They were military countermeasures.
Yeah.
That's how they were documented. So that's
how they were paid for.
We could go on and on about COVID. It is one of the best psyops after 9/11 for sure.
And we should never let go of it.
No, we shouldn't. It's still going on. There's people right. that are still smoking this stuff. And believe in the Kool-Aid. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. To this day, they're still getting sick with the flu shot, the COVID shot, the double shot power.
Do you think they're going to try to pull it again?
No, it's over.
Well, he's asking if they could try to pull another pandemic.
No, they're not. It's not going to work.
Wouldn't work again.
No, but they're still vaccinating kids, though. I mean, the sad thing is, like, I go to church sometimes. I see these kids that have
the parents want them, though. They don't know.
Well, they're misguided, though. They don't know.
Well, you know,
they don't know the true effects of it.
RFK Jr.'s HHS has pulled a lot of the vaccine. I think they've reduced the number of required vaccinations significantly down to what, maybe a dozen, or they've cut the. They say you don't need this, you don't need that, you don't need this, you don't need that. But the state of California and some other states are still on board with the same requirement that before you can go into school, before you can enroll your child in public school, they've got to have all 40 of these vaccines. So I don't know how many it is now they require to go to school, but
that's why part of why we homeschool. We don't
good news.
Kids into that bullshit.
I really admire that.
That's great.
I really admire that.
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't think it's. I don't think it's going to happen again. And breaking news, I hate to use the word breaking news because it's so overused, but Britain is giving up on the digital ID right now, as of now. So that's today's news. So it's still going to go
eventually.
Well, you know, it's three steps forward, two steps back. That's usually how things work.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Way to put it.
I think. But anyway, we're over a little bit over time tonight, which is fine. We had a lot of good callers. So do you guys have any closing comments?
Fight the power.
Say that again, Sean.
Says fight the power.
Fight the power. Yeah.
Oh, fight the power.
Fight the power.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't pay your taxes. Fuck them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right.
Well, that brings us into financial fraud, and I was sharing a screen.
I know, but we got to go, Lynn. We're
okay.
Lynn's got another rant.
This is the blowback from crisis actors and fake events.
Okay, go ahead, Lynn.
Now, Fakeologist, I think you originally posted in the forum on how ridiculous this Lewiston, Maine event was. Obviously staged.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago.
Well, now, within the last week or so, there's been a news story.
Okay.
About funds that were originally supposed to go to the shooting.
The shooting victims.
Funds for shooting victims given to Somali nonprofits.
In Maine?
Yeah.
Turning now to a News Nation exclusive.
One hoax to another.
Welfare fraud scandal that has torpedoed
really
Governor Tim Walz's re-election campaign may not be the only one making headlines this week. A small community in Maine is calling for accountability tonight after they say money for mass shooting victims instead went to Somali-linked nonprofits.
Wow, that's good.
I gotta give props to these Somalis. They are really on top of this stuff.
They are the best
Somali business. Masterminds.
I still think that they, like all recent immigrants, are being used. They're probably only getting half. Somebody is splitting the difference with them, I think, personally. I
agree with that.
As smart as they are,
they didn't mastermind it. They didn't mastermind.
No, they're being used. They were, yeah. There's too many people involved that disperse the money. They don't just go in and rob the bank. It's given to them, and anyone could easily audit what's going on. And that's the frustration. It's so obvious. It's ridiculous.
Here's the thing: the Somali daycare fraud, the events going on in Minnesota right now with this alleged shooting. I shouldn't need to remind people that the key perpetrators of the George Floyd death hoax in, was it May of 2020? May of 2020. Mm-hmm. Or May of 2021. Are the same people. The Governor Walz, the Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, the Mayor Jacob Frey, yeah, and the Attorney General Keith Ellison, who personally prosecuted Derek Chauvin. But he prosecuted the younger Derek Chauvin, not the older one. You know, there are two actors playing the role of Derek Chauvin. There's the one on the original fake snuff video, but then there's the one who showed up in court who looks 10 to 15 years younger. He doesn't look anything like the original Derek Chauvin. But Keith Ellison, the attorney, and I've posted on the forum, if you want to go into detail about this, I have several posts about the involvement of these key figures, Walz, Omar, Ellison, and Mayor Jacob Frey, in the George Floyd PSYOP and the riots and destruction and arson that occurred in the aftermath of it. And therefore, I'm not the least bit surprised that they would be enabling this massive, now I don't know, it was, last I heard it was $9 billion. Now it's up to like $19 billion.
Yeah, it's billion. It's billions and billions, as Carl Sagan would say. Yeah, it's crazy.
They stood the police down too for that riot. They've allowed them to take over police stations and everything.
Oh yeah.
All right, let's go.
Let's let the left take over. I got to go back after this and watch a James Freeman video where the cops are. Anyway, you know, these auditors, constitutional auditors. He's actually taken the side of the low level police in one of his latest videos. James Freeman, if you don't know,
that's another thing too. When you see these ICE crews out there, you should ask yourself, first of all, the ICE people.
Are they actors or are those the real ICE people? Yeah,
but the ICE people shouldn't even have to deal with blocking traffic. That's the job of the cops and the state troopers and the highway patrol. Where are they? Well, They're in on it.
Yeah, where is the state police? We talked about that yesterday. Where are they?
They're all in on it. Nobody's fooled. They know what they're doing. And they don't care because they're compromised.
Everyone's on the take. Everyone's corrupt. And we thought corruption was only in Iran and Venezuela. We're up to our eyeballs in it here, huh?
We've only seen the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
When you look at how much money was involved in Sandy Hook, real estate purchases, moving all those people in, a whole team of actors, you know, getting them set up in a Potemkin village, kind of a Potemkin village. That's a lot of money.
You got to make these 2-hour shows, man.
I know, but Well, Lynn can do a 5-hour show, but we got to keep it.
Dictator.
I'm
the commissar.
We got to keep them wanting more, though. We don't want to overindulge the audience. But we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll take your calls. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Lucas. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks to you too. Thanks to all the donors.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night, Lucas. Thanks, Lynn. Tomorrow we'll have Fake Nukes. He's always got a lot of stuff. We'll review his work. And Jim Rizzoli will be here, I'm sure, as well, to give Phil a hard time. And you guys can all join in. You can call in. And, we'll talk about whatever pops up. Anyway, thanks, everybody. And don't forget fakeotube.com, fakeologist.com, fakeologistforums.com, where Lynn is the lead creator over there. So make sure you check all our websites. And if you want to log into fakeologist.com to leave comments, then you got to go through wordpress.com because I was getting too many pieces of spam. I couldn't even keep up, so I'll let them do the registration. But you don't need to register for any of my sites. You can just go and read them. If you want to post, then you have to register or post in your name. And don't forget our Discord at shortfake.com/Discord or Fakeologist Discord. You'll find it. And we'll see you tomorrow.